And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome, Shout Out. I'm Andy Shelton.
And I'm Natalie, and today on the show, the Brigstow Project.
They're now 21, but how have things changed over the years?
Plus Gay Dad.
That's a book, and we'll be speaking to the author of that book about the experiences he had making it.
All of that and more on its way.
So stick with us for the next hour right here on Shout Out. Well, that was a bit of a slicker opening than last week, wasn't it?
Even though the microphone keeps drooping in front of my mouth.
Oh, yes. I think your cradle's a little bit kind of wonky, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
It's normally the chairs that go up and down, actually, isn't it?
Well, I'm fully down anyway.
Oh, now they're all at it. Tara's going as well, so... Anyway, hello, welcome.
Hello.
How are we all?
I'm right, thank you.
Only getting dark and cold.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yes, it's our Halloween special show next week.
It's winter. Mm.
Yes.
Is that when you, are you using your ghost outfit again this year?
What, you mean the one I borrow off you every year?
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
And then it's the computer go off on its own, doing its own thing speakily.
No, this is what happened to me last week. It happens every now and again. I put the key in, the USB key, so that I could move everything across. The computer just went, no. Oh, there goes your mic.
I should just bend down and talk upwards to it.
So we'll sort it. We'll sort
Thank
it
you, Tara.
We'll sort it when we're getting some events off Tara in a minute, I'm sure.
Sorry.
The problem is the listeners are going to have no clue what's going on.
It's I know. We'll have to get Mary in to take a photo.
Yes. Yes. Natalie's microphone's just fallen over in case you weren't wondering at home. So the joys.
Yes, my neck is at an awkward angle talking into it.
And we got, what's it? It's a week this Saturday till the clocks go back.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's a week on Saturday. That's not this Saturday, coming the week after.
Is that not an extra fall back?
You get an extra hour, yes. That is the plus. Yes. You get an hour in bed.
Yes.
But it's a bit lighter in the morning, but it means, of course, going home from work in the dark, which is...
Yeah, but it's just like being at work at times, isn't it?
What, in the dark?
Well, I suppose it depends where you work, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm the boss. That's not good laughing.
Well, if you're working in the dark, there's something wrong then, if you're the boss.
That, yeah, exactly.
Or you're having a too late working day. It's one of the lot, isn't it?
I actually like autumn and winter.
Do you? I like it up until Christmas and New Year.
February's
and then it's
miserable.
Kind of like January, February, like, oh, come on, warm up a bit.
Yeah,
so like, you know.
Absolutely.
Well,
but there should be like some special event in February that you could look forward to.
Well, there is Valentine's for people like you, Andy.
Exactly. Well, yeah, true. But it's not like Christmas, is it? It's not like a New Year when you're a big party. If you don't have a big party for Valentine's, and unless you're polyamorous, I suppose.
But there's a lot of pressure at Christmas time, isn't there, for everyone?
It does. I mean, they all have good and bad sides to them, don't they?
You know,
it's something we cover every year. Actually, you know, is Christmas can be a depressing time for some people.
Yeah,
I find it quite fun. You know, I have alcohol and pot noodle.
What flavour? So.
Chicken and mushroom. Well, it's Christmas, you've got to have your chicken.
You're supposed to have turkey, aren't
turkey,
you? Do they do a turkey
and
mushroom one at Christmas?
If they do, I'll buy it.
Oh, anyway, right, Tara, it's that time. So, Outshout, which is our pick of the best events coming up over the next week or two. What have we got?
Well, I'm going all filmy this week, to be honest.
Okay.
I've kind of had a bit of a... Yeah, film. So we've got the Halloween film night on Thursday the 26th of October, 7 till 10 p.m. And that's...
Is it all horror?
It's a comedy, Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's for a Terence Higgins Trust. So all the proceeds go to Terence Higgins Trust, who was asked to give him a bit of a shout out for that, and that's at the Hort Public Bar.
Oh, it's not. Yes, and they got a cinema-y theatre thing at the back.
Have they?
Yeah. Have you ever been?
It's great.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. It's one of those bars you walk in. Well, it's like an old pub actually. We sing out Bristol together a lot after their rehearsals on a Tuesday for a drink. This is how I know you see. You walk in, and it's got this really long bar down the left hand side, and it's got kind of like seating areas on the right. Yeah. But when you get to the end, there's a couple of doors, and it opens up, and it's actually got a big screen and raked seating at the end of the pub. It's like a mini cinema.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Well, there you go. If it's a mini cinema, get your tickets now.
Yeah, absolutely. Go and get
how much does it cost?
£7.
£7?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I forgot that last week, didn't I? I stumbled over it, yeah. There you go. Now I remember.
Without doubt. Yeah, and if you want tickets, where'd you go?
Oh, I'll have to find... I'm trying to find it out, sorry. Terence Singer's trying to go to look at the website. It'll be there somewhere.
I'm sure it'll be on Facebook, too.
Yeah, and it is on Facebook.
Is it on our website?
Well, it will be by the end of the night.
Tara's going to make sure now.
I will make up
okay.
flight.
Well, please tell me at least know which date it's happening.
It's on the 26th of October.
Cool. I don't know when that is, actually.
7 p.m.
That's next Wednesday.
That's next Wednesday.
Cool.
Okay, so the next thing, and I thought we'd move out of Bristol for a change and actually cover a bit wider market face, which is Bath's got a film festival that's going to be running.
All right.
Yeah, and that runs from the 3rd to the 13th of November.
Ooh.
Yeah, and within it, they've got a queer film section.
All right,
yeah, so, and actually, I've got a list of films.
Any that we know, or any that jump out at you?
Well, I quite like the one Summertime Labelle, Cicerone. That's the one I quite like to look up.
Yeah? What's that about, do you know?
Catherine Courson's gorgeous film was set in France in 1971, at the dawn of a new era. Delphi lives with her parents on a remote farm, aware of there's something different about her, but doesn't understand exactly what. And now that sounds a bit like some other people I know. Yeah, has bought up on a farm in 71.
What, in France?
No, not in France. Scotland. I think that's back. That is the back of beyond, isn't it? There's no culture. I'm going to get slapped now for that.
So can you do a French accent?
No. I'm not even going to try. So that one is on November the 5th at 8:40 p.m. at Mission Theatre. Yeah. And then there's the Closet Munster, and that is on at the Bodio on November the 8th at 6:30 p.m.
All right.
And these are all in Bath, so, you know, it's not far away. I realise this.
No, but don't forget, we're also broadcasting in Froome as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite important. Close. Yeah, exactly.
Then so Bath's lovely. Nice place.
Girls Lost, and that's at Chapel Arts Centre, November the 8th at 8:50 p.m. So you could do one after the other if you know where you're going. Yeah. The Pass is at Odeon on Wednesday the 9th of November at 6 p.m. And what else have we got? Who's Going to Love Me? Sounds quite... Yeah. No comments, please.
It's a film.
So that's at the Odeon.
It's not asking you a question.
On Friday,
it's a film.
11th. At 6:30 p.m. And there's The Handmaiden, and that's the Odeon on Friday November 11th at 8:30 p.m. And all the information is on their website, so that's bathfilmfestival.co.uk.
Oh, we know that one.
Yes, we know that one. I thought I'd get one out. It's .org.uk, thank you. And it's in there, and there's lots more than just a queer festival going on.
Yeah.
So there's a whole series
of films.
So I just picked out that particular... You know.
Well, we are an LGBT
plus. Well, exactly.
Show,
it's quite important,
it's kind of,
isn't it? Yeah, you've got to get the theme in right.
It's the big bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if the website's well covered and there's lots of descriptions in the website, so and some rather nice pictures as well, yeah.
Ooh. Well, there you go. People have to go just to look at the
just
pictures.
Just to go look at the pictures, I think. Yes, I would recommend it.
Look at the pictures and see when to go to the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that was it, really. That was my selection this week. I thought it was a good, you know, go
Brilliant.
Outside Bristol, yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much, Tara.
No problem. Thank you.
Of November. 24th of November.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Right, we're going to be talking to our guest from Brigstow in a minute. But firstly, before we do, we're going to play this one specially for Steph because she's just out of hospital. So get well soon,
get
Steph.
Get well, Steph.
We love you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Minnie the Moocher. That's by Leon Ross.
Oh.
I like that one. It's funky, isn't it? So.
Heidi.
Yeah. It's another one of those. You see, I'm loving Shazam. Have you ever used Shazam on your phone?
No.
So I've got an Amazon Prime account and it comes with free music. And quite often, it's like we're decorating at the moment, so I'll just put some music on and randomly put dance stuff on. I'm like, oh, I like this song. I'll play this on the show and you get this Shazam out and find out what it is.
I keep seeing these adverts for Shazam and I go, you know, I keep thinking of using it thinking I'll get a free car or something.
Isn't that Uber? Anyway, we're digressing. We always say hello to our guests. Welcome back to Max.
Thank
hello,
you.
Hello, mate. And hello to Polly from Brigstow Project.
Hello.
So now I'm trying to think, I don't know if we've had the Brigstow Project on before. I'm sure we have spoken to some of you before, haven't we?
I think so. I haven't personally been on the show before, but we may well have been.
Now, obviously, we, being an LGBT plus show ourselves, we know about the Brigstow Project quite well. But for those listening, do you want to give us a quick synopsis of what the Brigstow Project is and how it came to be?
Yeah, of course. So we... We improve the lives of people living with HIV. That's our strap line. That's what we have been doing since 95 when we were founded. So we're celebrating our 21st anniversary this week.
Which we have to say, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, it's been a pretty big deal, you know, and we feel very happy about it in some ways, quite sad about it in others, that we are still having to be around supporting people living with HIV.
Well, I was going to say, in 95, did they, because I remember in the 90s, we were all like, oh, it'd be cured in a decade, and of course it hasn't.
Mm.
I mean, was it something that even crossed your mind back then when it all started? Did you think, oh, we'll only be doing this for 5-10 years or something? Or
I think when it started, there wasn't even medication around, so we weren't even kind of treating people. It was just about making people comfortable. This is sad, but to die.
Yeah.
That's where we were at.
Yeah.
And I think when we were founded, that is what we thought we would do.
Well, have you ever seen the movie Pride, of course? So Russell Tovey plays a character where he's on his kind of farewell tour, as they used to call it, because he'd been diagnosed with HIV and was out enjoying himself before it kind of kicked in. So, but of course, that was 21 years ago.
It was, and the situation and the landscape has changed dramatically.
An awful lot.
A lot, yeah. So massive developments in medication has meant that people now live long, healthy lives with HIV. Which is, you know, fantastic news. We had an event on Tuesday, which was about celebrating Brigstow over the 21 years. And there were some people there who were diagnosed in 95 who were, you know, still here and kicking. And that was great to see because they never expected to be, you know.
Do you find there's still a big fear with people, though?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, stigma is the thing that is one of the, if not the main challenge for people living with HIV, I would say, now.
So, and is that what the Brigstow Project, because you're not a medical facility as such, are you? You're very much support. Is it mainly that kind of area that you're covering, or is it just kind of to support people in general?
We cover a lot of areas. I mean, you'll still see, if you look at stats, that people living with HIV are more likely to experience poverty, more likely to experience mental health issues and housing problems. So we cover all of that. Yeah, we cover all of that in support. We're edging more into, with new services that we're developing, into education and awareness training, which will help to quash that stigma. So that's something that we are starting to do more and more. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this may be one that I also ask Max again in a minute, but how has society's attitude towards it changed since 1995? Is it still as bad as it was back then? I mean, because originally when it was first discovered, of course, it was even called GRIDS for a little while because they thought it was gay-related.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we now know isn't true at all. But
yeah, and then you're almost taught, like, oh, no, you know, touch them and you would die.
Yeah, no, you were. I think really good point, because it isn't just gay-related, and it's always something I would like to say, is that it can affect a really wide variety of people. It's not just a gay thing. I think that attitudes are slowly changing, but not as dramatically as we would like to see. And I think mainly that's because we don't talk about it now. You know, since the 80s, it was a death sentence. There were adverts everywhere and people were talking about it. And now that's not the case. We aren't. So although attitudes are shifting, I think that they are shifting slowly. I was speaking to a colleague the other day who he was saying that I think the attitudes are still around sort of 96, how we were feeling about it in 96. It's got a lot of miseducation around this stuff.
Well, one person who can answer that straight away is Max. Welcome back. You were talking to us about something completely different last time you were here, weren't you? you.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Give our listeners a bit of context. How old are you? And of course, you come in to talk about HIV. Tell us about how you found out you had it.
So I'm 24 years old. I'm a PhD student. And last time I came on the show 2 years ago, I was talking about my research. So this is a much more personal kind of topic to talk about. But I think 2 years ago when I was here, one of the things I said, actually, I was talking about how homophobia had declined over the past 20 years, how significantly it declined. And I think I said one of the things that has been biggest in changing people's attitudes is more and more people coming out and speaking openly about their sexuality.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the same for HIV. And that's the whole reason I've come on tonight, is to speak openly about it, about being HIV positive, because the more of us who speak openly about it and kind of can educate others, those around us, about how things have progressed really quite dramatically, I think the better attitudes will become, much in the same way that the LGBT movement has progressed, I think.
So, I mean, as someone who, was it a year now you say you've been diagnosed?
No, it's only been a few weeks, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm very recently diagnosed. I'm actually still adjusting to some of the side effects of the medication. But that
is
one
something that never gets talked about at all, isn't it? And it is something that can be quite... You can go through several different types of medication before you find one that works, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, so actually, as I said, it's been a very steep learning curve for me. And it came as a shock. It wasn't a diagnosis I was expecting. But it's been a very steep learning curve, in particular about the medication. I simply wasn't aware of how much variety there is available. So it's not just, you know, one type of medication that's out there. There are lots of different options with different side effects. But actually, the side effects are very, very minimal nowadays. And the ones I'm experiencing, you know, slight reduced appetite, restlessness, a bit of anxiety, actually, they should all fade in the next few weeks.
Right.
And in a matter of weeks or months, I will become undetectable. And actually, there's a recent study that came out, the partner study, which I think had about 1,000 couples where one partner was HIV positive and one was HIV negative. And the study documented over 58,000 acts of condomless sex, and there was a zero rate of transmission of HIV.
Yeah.
So that's how effective these drugs are now. These virtually side effect free drugs in the long term reduce the risk of transmission to zero, and not enough people are aware of that. You know, we still have this kind of fear about sexual interaction with people who don't share our status. That's just not based on the current science anymore.
Mm.
And that study was, as a social scientist, I can say it was very rigorous. It's got a big sample size.
If we're in a society that isn't quite understanding what HIV is, I mean, we get questions like, what's the difference between HIV and AIDS still? Or people not having a clue what either of them are, or, you know, just going, oh, no, that's not going to affect me, I'm straight. It's like, no, it actually could. You know, there's all that out there. Trying to get them to understand that's quite a battle without trying to then explain to them, you know, all about the effects of the drugs and the like, which tends, I'm guessing, to be more something that happens between the couples, because they're obviously more likely and more inclined to do the research into finding out about it, aren't they? So, but I mean, whoever, you're obviously very publicly here on the radio now, but family and friends wise, who now knows that you're HIV? Before you came on the radio, obviously.
So, as I say, it's a very recent diagnosis, so this is all very fresh. The most recent person I told was my grandma about 2 weeks ago, and her response was, oh yeah, I saw a BBC documentary about HIV. I know it's not that much of a big deal anymore, which is not what I was expecting.
Well, yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Actually, the rest of my family, who I told a few weeks previously on a family camping holiday, said, oh, don't tell granny, you know, she's an older generation, she's had to deal with a lot lately, she won't understand it. And I said to them, I thought they were underestimating her, and I was right, and she was fine with
it. I'm the generation that was banned from telling my grandparents I was gay, so, you know, it's a different kettle of fish. But on the whole, have they all been very supportive of it? Have you had any negative reactions from anyone at all?
Well, I was going to say, actually, it is interesting, because after finding out the diagnosis, it very much did feel like going back in the closet before I had told people.
I can imagine that.
The thing that made it easier for me telling my family and friends was that I knew that they were very gay-friendly and liberal people who would support me, so it made it easier, in a sense, coming out again about the HIV status. And in a weird way, being gay probably made it easier for me to come out about being HIV positive than, for example, a heterosexual woman or you know, someone else who hasn't had that experience.
Is that just because of the stigma of society?
That it's harder for women to come out.
Yeah.
I guess that it's not talked about as much within those circles. I mean, the LGBT community do talk about HIV, at least, which is a good thing. We're sort of versed, at least in, being able to say those words.
So I hate to stereotype that. Is it a case of it's because the heterosexual community don't or tend to ignore it or would assume it's not something that's going to affect them?
Yeah, totally. I think it is like that. It's perceived as something that's not going to affect them. In certain communities, we still see homophobia affecting people's attitudes towards HIV, which is sad.
So, I mean, we should point out the Brigstow Project isn't just about the LGBT community.
No.
It's anyone with HIV, isn't it, you cover. So if you are listening and you're heterosexual, it is something that you can contact them about and get some advice on.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
I mean, what are the most common questions you get asked from people?
Ooh, good question. Really massive variety of questions. We did a few events over the summer doing prides and things like that, and I really liked speaking to the public about HIV and what they knew. We did a quiz, so we'd be testing people's knowledge. I had a young guy come up to me and say, "You can't get it from kissing, can you?" So you've still got those sorts of questions happening. And then different things about medication and life expectancy. Range. Sorry, that wasn't very specific.
I was going to say, Andy, you asked if I'd had any stigmatizing responses or comments from anyone who I've told over the last few weeks. And thankfully, or in a sense, thankfully, there's only been one. But I did have one quite nasty response from a former friend. And it was actually the last person I expected it to come from. This was a professor of sexualities who's published research about the devastating effect of HIV stigma in the 80s. And so I thought he would be, someone who would get it. But the first thing he said to me, this was 5 days after my diagnosis, was, "Do you think this will affect your sexual ethics or your sexual impulses in any way?" As if they would be any different now, as if I'm a different person. I mean, actually, the only thing that's changed about me, I'm still exactly the same person I was, is that I've become more of an activist around the issue. And as I said, my family really has been an antidote to that. So my auntie who lives in Bristol said, you have to remember the people who matter don't care and the people who care don't matter. And I also have to say, speaking of family, happy birthday to my mum. She's definitely listening. And it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday. We are rapidly running out of time, but if someone was in your situation, just newly diagnosed and not quite knowing what to think or say, what advice would you... I mean, obviously, the first thing I'm going to say is, go talk to the Brigstow Project. But from a personal point of view, what would be your first bit of advice to them?
Well, actually, can I turn this question on its head and give a bit of advice to the people out there listening who are negative? Actually, you can do something really powerful and important for your friends and the people around you who either might become positive or might already be positive but are too afraid to speak openly about it. You can let them know that you're an advocate, that you support the rights of HIV people, that you know it doesn't change them as people, that you support organizations like Brigstow, like THT, support World AIDS Day, that kind of thing. Just by letting people know that you hold those tolerant, accepting attitudes will make it easier for them to talk to you if something like this ever happens to them.
Cool, very well put. Just to finish off, obviously, if anyone wants to find out more about Brigstow and the like and talk to you, I presume is it something they can just drop into, or do they need to contact you in advance? Or?
Not drop in, we contact us in advance.
Right.
So our telephone number, 0117 9555038, and our website, www.brigstow.org, both ways of contacting us. Just like to echo what Max said about being an advocate. We're always welcoming people that want to come and volunteer their time or have ideas about getting our message out there. Contact us for those reasons too.
I said at the birthday party event 2 days ago, I wish I had been an advocate and an activist before I became positive, and now I'm really keen to continue that message and support trans people, migrant women, other groups who might be affected by HIV and other issues disproportionately.
Cool. Well, listen, a big thank you to you, because it's a very personal thing to come on the radio and talk to tens of thousands of people about being positive. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for doing that. And also to you, Polly, for coming. And congratulations on 21 years. And here's to another 21. So
thank you.
We will, as always, put all the info up on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shoutout Podcast.
You like that one then, do you, Mr. Doug? Josh?
I do indeed, yes. Yeah.
So what was it called?
It's called What Will Santa Say When He Finds Everyone Swinging by Bob Zuger.
Well, that's what you call Christmas.
Specialist club somewhere.
So anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 20th of October, 2016. The UK government has announced an initiative to wipe criminal records of gay and bisexual men convicted of sexual offences that are no longer illegal. The historic move by the UK Ministry of Justice means that gay and bisexual men convicted of now abolished sexual offences in England and Wales are to receive posthumous pardons. It will also mean pardons for thousands of living men convicted over consensual same-sex relationships. The Sexual Offences Act decriminalised private homosexual acts between men over 21 in England and Wales in 1967. The law was not changed in Scotland until 1980, with Northern Ireland following in 1982. The Liberal Democrat peer, Lord Sharkey, who proposed the amendment to the Policing and Crimes Bill, said it was momentous. It follows the pardoning of World War II codebreaker Alan Turing for gross indecency in 2013. Under the amendment, dubbed by some as the Turing Law, deceased people who are convicted of sexual acts that are no longer deemed criminal will receive an automatic pardon. Those living, however, will need to apply for their criminal records to be cleared, a detail that has been criticised by some campaigners. The new ruling applies in England and Wales. The charity Stonewall has said it has begun discussions with the Scottish Government to allow similar procedures to be introduced there. And in Northern Ireland, the Rainbow Project, also a charity and campaigning group, met with the Justice Minister in August to discuss the law around historical convictions. A row has broken out in Romania between the country's president and prime minister over the rights of same-sex couples. In a speech on Wednesday, the National Liberal Party leader Klaus Iohannis called for tolerance and acceptance for minorities as the country considers banning same-sex marriage. Meanwhile, today, the Prime Minister Dacian Colios voiced his support for the traditional family. LGBT rights activists in the country have praised the president's comments. One campaigner said Klaus Iohannis' comments are a first for Romania. For the first time, a major politician is coming out in support of diversity. However, some say that his comments don't go far enough, as he did not specify that he was referring to the LGBTI people. He avoided using a direct reference to the community. Romania is awaiting a decision on whether same-sex marriages should be allowed or not. The Dutch authorities have identified those responsible for a campaign of hate literature distributed last week in parts of Amsterdam. LGBT groups have asked for swift and legal redress against the supporters of a well-known anti-gay cleric named by the Dutch newspaper De Telegraaf as Haren Jaiha. The leaflets were factually inaccurate and based on a series of lies, including that gay people molest children. The leaflets also called on Jews, Christians and Muslims to suppress LGBT people. The Netherlands prides itself on being one of the most tolerant in the world, but in recent years there have been tensions between LGBT people and some other communities, which has fueled much debate about the future of the country's liberalism. Norway is sending out a bold message to the world by becoming the first country to make HIV-preventing PrEP drugs available through its National Health Service. We've featured the pre-exposure prophylaxis drug Truvada on Shoutout previously. It can reduce the risk of being infected with HIV by up to 86% if taken daily, and has been endorsed by the World Health Organization. It's already available in a number of countries, including the United States, Canada, South Africa and France. It means that Norway has become the second country in Europe to make PrEP available, but it is the first in the world where the drugs will be available free of charge to at-risk groups via its National Health Service. It emerged this week that the lesbian crime writer Val McDermid rightly unmasked the late Jimmy Savile as an abuser of young people and children in one of her novels. In a BBC 4 programme, Sleuth, Spies and Sorcerers, on the genre of crime fiction, Andrew Marr spoke to McDermid about her basing abusive villain in one of her novels on Savile. She revealed that she had interviewed Savile during the 1970s when she was a journalist, and she considered him to be a deeply unpleasant person and was not terribly surprised to hear whispers in media circles about his activities, which led her to include a character based on him in her work. She said that it was just surprised that no one at the time realised on whom she'd based the villain. McDermid is a regular contributor to the Guardian newspaper and BBC Radio 4, and she said that she's part of what has been dubbed the tartan noir strand of Scottish crime writing. She's previously alluded to the fact that she had based her villainous character, Jacko Vance, on the late Savile, but Andrew Marr's interview will bring the awareness to a new generation of sleuth novel fans. And finally, fresh from winning Attitude Magazine's TV Personality of the Year, Rylan Clark is to host the ITV Morning Programme this morning on Friday the 28th of October with his husband Dan. The Attitude Awards are held once a year, and this year's results are in the magazine, which is published this week. For these news stories and more, visit the Shoutout website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. That's your Shoutout news. This is Matthew Tosh on his Todd.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
And if you would like to hear more about PrEP, our second show, Shout Out After Dark, which goes out roughly once a quarter or so, did its last show all about PrEP. We actually got experts from the NHS and from iwantprepnow.co.uk, as well as the Terence Higgins Trust, and sat them all around a table and had a good old gossip. Podcast is still up on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, do you like that one?
I'm not sure.
That's a Louis Armstrong, or rather a remix, I should say, of Louis Armstrong. Was it Louis Armstrong? Louis Armstrong, isn't it?
Louis, yes.
Yeah. It's called Cuban Pete.
Yeah.
Is it a bit kind of, jazzy?
Yeah. It's a bit jazzy, but cool. not proper jazz, is it?
No. So, well, you know, I'm trying to make Steph feel better because she's at home, so have an operation on her hand.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so get well soon, Steph.
Yeah, and stop punching things.
So, anyway, I am actually now going to say hello to someone rather special, as in June, a book came out called Gay Dad, and on the end of the phone we have the author, David. Hello.
Hi, Andy.
Thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome. I was quite enjoying that music.
Oh, were you? It is. Is it Louis or Lewis? I'm sure it's Louis Armstrong, isn't it?
Louis Armstrong. Yeah,
yeah, cool. Yeah, sorry, that'd be me reading things a bit too quick. So now, I'm fascinated by this book. I mean, I've got notes from our producer here that's pages and pages of it, and I was having a read through it. It sounds like you've had quite a fascinating time researching it. But before I ask you about what happened going into it, give our listeners an idea what the book is about.
Sure. Well, the book is a collection, basically, of 10 true life stories of gay men who have been married and have had kids, but particularly gay men living in the UK today, because when I was going through that process of, you know, coming to terms with my sexuality and going through a separation, I couldn't find anything that I could relate to, other stories of other men in a similar situation, and that's basically why I put this book together.
Right. So is there very little out there then for people who went through that or are going through that kind of situation?
Well, as I said, I couldn't find anything. I mean, that there are stories of celebrities and sports stars, and particularly on the American market, and also for like single parents or same-sex couples who wish to adopt. There's quite a plethora, if you like, of books about that, but nothing that spoke about, you know, the experiences of gay men who have been married and gone through marriage and had kids and, you know, have come out the other end and have had to, you know, work through the trauma that obviously impacts on everyone's lives.
So, first question then, is your own story one of the ones that forms part of the book?
It is, yes.
I mean, that must have been quite personal to go into it for yourself.
It is, yeah, but it's very cathartic. I mean, when I approached the guys to do this, who I met through a support website called Gay Dads UK, I was sort of inundated with offers of people telling their stories, because I think it's a very cathartic thing to do. And And especially if you're in a safe environment and, you know, your voice is being heard. Some of the men were perfectly happy for their their names to be put to their stories. Some of them were less so. So I just thought to make things easier, it would be better that it was all anonymous. And also, you know, you have to take into account the ex-wives, children, parents, and other relatives who may not be, you know, comfortable about things so, being public.
So is the book all about kind of just giving people other people's experience of it in the hope that it'll help them through the same kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's ten stories, all completely different. They all come from different backgrounds, different social circles. There's a Sikh guy. There's a guy who grew up in a Christian background as well, rich, poor, whatever. But also interspersed with that, there's quite a lot of factual stuff, because when I was researching this, I found that there was stuff that I didn't even know. You know, for instance, the term homosexual is quite relatively new. It was only something coined in the 19th century by a German physicist called Karl Ulrich. Who wanted to put people into labelled boxes. And I think this has been a lot of the problem that we've suffered since.
It's one of the things we do very well in society, is labelled boxes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It seems that people can't, you know, we're all guilty of it. If you can't sort of name something and see what it is and have some description of it, you can't sort of deal with it.
Okay. In your research, did you find a lot of people sort of moved into a heterosexual, for lack of a better term, relationship because of peer pressure, and then sort of realised that they weren't living the life they should?
I think there's a lot of denial, of course, and I think it's easier in some ways to go with the flow, and when you don't have any gay friends or any you're not moving in those sort of circles. And you know, you might literally be the only gay in the town or the village, or indeed, if you have any gay friends, you might not relate to them. But from all these stories, and myself included, we married for absolutely the right reason, and that was because we fell in love. It just so happened that the person that we fell in love with was a woman. And I think, you know, it's for my case, I, you know, both my wife and I were naive. I mean, she knew that I'd had relationships and experiences with men before we got married. I don't want to talk for her because that, you know, the book is not about the wives.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, often in relationships, people think that they might be able to change someone or, you know, influence them in some way, but
it's called Gay Dad. But having been the person that wrote the book, is it also something that would be very good to help people who aren't the actual gay dad, say like the wife or the children? Or
yeah, absolutely. I really hope so. In fact, I hope that you know older children whose fathers or indeed mothers have come out and declared their sexuality in a marriage. Would read it and hopefully realise that, you know, this is not such an abnormal thing. I think it's far more normal than we think. But I think, as in heterosexual marriages, I think people stay together, often for the children or for careers or whatever. And I think, you know, the people who make the decision to, you know, have a new life and to leave the marriage, it's a very traumatic time. But I hope that the book will show that in the end positivity comes through for everybody involved, because obviously, you know, in the end everyone is living the life that they should have been leading.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, listen, it's lovely to talk to you about it, and I have to say, having read some of the notes that we got on it, it sounds like an absolutely fascinating read. I personally would say go have a read of it. But it is on sale now, isn't it? Is it usual kind of places, Amazon and
Amazon,
all the books?
Amazon and Kindle. It's available, and you can find me on my Facebook page or Twitter page, which is at Gay Dad Book. But yes, you'll be able to find it on Amazon, I hope, fairly easily. David Ledain.
Cool, brilliant. Well, listen, we'll do what we always do as well, and we'll make sure we link to it from our website.
That's fantastic.
But thank you ever so much for calling in to tell us about it.
You're welcome.
Best of luck with it.
Thanks very much.
Cool. You're listening to Shout Out. Big thank you to Dave there. It sounds fascinating,
it
doesn't
does,
it? Yeah. I've had a read of a few little bits, and it's quite interesting. It's something I've never went through it, so it's not something I've thought about so much. But yeah,
worth a read.
So yeah, if you're interested, we will put a link to it on our website, so you can find it. David Ledain, Gay Dad.
The Shout Out Podcast.
What's coming up? I can't get over.
Like,
what's going on?
The 24th of November.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Can you do it again?
Shout out.
Do you like that?
24th of November.
Just feed me bits of paper, things to whisper.
You can tell we're a small team, can't you?
Yeah, do the vacuuming, the washing up, everything.
Yeah.
You're very good at it, too. I know my place.
So I don't know if you guys heard it out there, but that book sounds fascinating. Gay Dads. I don't think the radio's on out there, is it?
We couldn't hear it in the green room, I'm afraid. I was having a conversation with the producer about production matters, so that obviously took priority there. But no, you couldn't hear it. So it's good. I'll have to listen again on the podcast. Because we have a podcast of the show.
We do.
Yes, it's always good listening.
Anyway, it's winter and you need a good book. And Christmas. Christmas present. Good book.
Yeah, very true.
Very good.
Very true. So I'm not really a reader, I have to confess, to be honest. Are you a reader?
I go through phases. I'm just coming out of a reading phase. So, yeah, it's a seasonal thing. I think it's more over the summer when I go away, holiday, want to switch off, pick up a book, that sort of thing.
Kindle or real book?
Oh, real book.
Real.
Oh, no, real, definitely.
Paper. Real book. You know, you don't lose the contents. The memory doesn't go.
It's got texture.
The smell. The battery doesn't run out.
When you go on holiday, you can take 100 books and it's still...
Just take one very good one.
Take one and appreciate it rather than diluting it across many books.
Yeah. My husband's reading a really weird one at the moment. It's got pages where the text is sideways and upside
down. You're doing the action there. So I'm just saying it's great, yeah.
Sorry.
Is that a kid's book?
It's really radio when you do the actions, isn't it? So no, it'll be screaming it at the radio, but I'll have to find out what it's called. Apparently it's the latest in book at the moment, but I haven't got a clue. So are you a book reader?
I'm reading for a course at the moment, so I'm doing counselling, so I read about...
Doing the official...
Yeah, so I'm reading about...
Non-fiction.
I'm reading about Freud at the moment.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting subject.
So, yeah, the word mentioned about penis envy and being trans is quite a unusual... Yeah, it's quite... It was like, whoa.
One of those disgust 10 points.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. How would you think he would feel about it now?
Oh. That was not what I was expecting you to come out with when I asked that question. I have to admit, never mind. Anyway, that's it for another week. If you do have a read of Gay Dad or you're in that situation yourself, we would love to hear from you.
As always, you can contact us in lots of ways, including normal mail if you choose. The details for all of that are on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
We'll be back next week, as always, when we'll be catching up with Zion. But from myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.